Amen. Yeah, today we're celebrating the resurrection of Jesus Christ, our Savior, our Lord, risen from the grave. And because of his death and resurrection, we are forgiven. Sin lost its power that day. You know, we're able to have a relationship with God. We have the promise of heaven. We have hope, because we have the promise that God is always with us, guiding us, protecting us, that God will unleash his power and strength in our lives, and that there is nothing in all creation that can separate us from the love of God. It's ours in Jesus Christ our Lord. Yeah, amen to that. Do you believe that? I mean, do you really believe that? Or do you have doubts sometimes? You know, and if you have doubts, I will tell you, you're not alone. You know, the song, it said, I don't even know if I believe everything you're trying to say to me, so open up my eyes. If you have doubts, if you have questions, I want to say to you, it's okay. It's okay. God's okay with your questions. You know, ask difficult questions, ask deep questions, profound questions. Believe me, the Bible and God can handle the scrutiny of any question that you have. So I say, bring it on. Probe, seek, ask, chase. And as God opens your eyes, as you find the answers, I will tell you, it is life-changing. Now, I remember sitting in church. It was early in my Christian walk, and I was listening to a message, much like you're going to hear today, and they were talking about the resurrection of Jesus, and everybody was nodding their head, yes, but I had this wave of doubt. It just kind of swept over me, and I remember thinking, but what if it isn't true? It was real doubts about my faith. Real doubts about God, about Jesus Christ. I don't know if I believe. Friends, some of you are there today. I mean, some people doubt the existence of God. Others acknowledge there's a higher power, but when you get talking to them, they'll say, yeah, but I'm not sure that God even cares about what's going on. You know, some people doubt because they can't reconcile how a good God could allow things like war and human trafficking and poverty and what have you. And for some, that doubt comes out of what I would say personal situation, where they say, you know, I prayed and prayed for somebody that I loved. I trusted God for something, and God just didn't come through for me. Or some have doubts because of some severe wound or hurt in their life, and something seems unfair that's happened, and they just can't resolve it. You know, some it's that thing that they believe in that struggle. They're like, I've prayed and prayed and prayed, and nothing. I mean, God didn't even answer. People have told me, I doubt God could love me because of all the things I've done. You know, others, there was a time I wanted to believe. I really wanted to know God, and then I met some Christians, and they were weird, hypocritical, and if that's God, no thank you. Sometimes I think churches, I don't know that it's intentional, but if you have doubts, if you question too often, then they'll tell you you don't have faith, you know, that maybe you've been going to church and you've got these doubts, and they're like, well, you don't really belong here. And I want you to know that's not true at Faith Fellowship. It's okay. Bring your doubts. In fact, I think if you do not admit your doubts, if you don't work through your doubts, whatever they are, you may never experience the deep faith that God has for you. And so today I say, bring it on. Bring your doubts. And I pray that God opens your eyes. Maybe not today, but over time, all right? You know, Jesus Christ died on the cross. He was buried in a tomb. He rose from the dead. And Scripture says that Jesus appeared after the resurrection, that numerous times he showed up and talked to people and interacted. This is right before his ascension. So he's been resurrected for a while, and he's getting ready to go to heaven. And Scripture says this. It says, then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshiped him, but what? Some doubted. That's interesting. This is Jesus' last appearance. Theologians believe that this is when Jesus not only appeared to the disciples, but there was a crowd of like 500 people that were there. And when they saw Jesus, they worshiped, but some doubted. And I will tell you, I find that strangely encouraging. I mean, have you ever noticed when somebody like stumbles or they miss the mark or they mess up, that somehow it gives you hope for yourself? You're like, good, they fail. I could fail. I'm okay. You know, I find it encouraging that some of the disciples, followers of Jesus, who actually saw Jesus, the risen Savior, but some doubted. And although it makes me feel better, I will tell you, I long to be a person of faith. I long to walk by faith, you know, when I can't see what's ahead, to trust God enough to live with that confidence and that assurance in my life. You know, that kind of God said it. I've read it in Scripture. I believe it. That settles it kind of mentality. No doubts. But it is not that simple, is it? And my guess is that many of you would say your faith is much more complicated than that. You want to believe, but you're skeptical sometimes. I mean, you want to believe, but you're just not sure that you believe it. You need more information. You need a few answers. You need a little proof along the way. And today, what I hope you find is that the strongest faith isn't faith that never doubts. The strongest faith is faith that grows through the doubts. Now, I want to look at a guy that he became known for his doubts. He became known as Doubting Thomas. You know, which I have said over and over, I find this very problematic, because this guy becomes known for his worst moment. It seems to go against the grain of Christianity. You know, as a Christ follower, that we're not known for our worst moment. You know, perhaps Thomas should be renamed. Instead of being his worst moment, maybe be his best moment, and we call him Thomas the Truthful, you know. Because he was just honest about how he felt. Now, we're backing up a bit in the story. One of Jesus' early appearances after the resurrection, all the disciples, they're gathered in a room. They're all there except for Judas. Judas killed himself. And Thomas isn't there. The disciples are terrified. They are scared. They're going to get arrested, that they're going to end up getting executed as conspirators with Jesus. And so they have all the doors locked to the room. And at the same time, they're trying to process everything that they've heard about Jesus. You know, several of the women have reported that they saw the resurrected Jesus. Can you imagine what the conversations were in that room? You know, the stories they were telling. You know, I'm sure like Peter's like, well, I was at the tomb. I saw the tomb. It was empty. And John trying to top him. And he's like, well, I saw it too. You remember, I was there and it was empty. It was empty. He's right about that. And they're processing what Mary Magdalene had told them about seeing Jesus. And I wonder if they were not going, I don't know if I believe it. I mean, everything you're saying to me, is it possible? Is he really alive? Scripture says this, while they were still talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." They were startled and frightened, thinking they'd saw a ghost. They're in the room. There's a lot of fear. They're talking about the possibility, is Jesus really alive? And then, boom, he just appears right in the middle of the room. And it frightens them. I'd be frightened too, like, what just happened here? They saw him crucified. They'd watched him die. This would be a little bit like if you had went to the funeral of someone and you see the casket, and then you're at the gravesite and you see him lower the casket in the ground, and then a few days later you're like having dinner at home and suddenly they appear at the table. "Hey, how's it going?" It'd be frightening. They were dead, and now they're back alive. The disciples saw Jesus, and he's alive. And immediately they think it's a ghost. And the scripture says, he said to them, "Why are you troubled, and why do you doubts rise in your mind?" You know, the big question, why do you doubt right now? Guys, hey, did you forget everything I told you? Did you forget I told you that I was going to die, that I would come back in 3 days? You know, did you forget what I'm capable of? You remember I healed people, raised people from the dead, calmed the raging sea that day. You remember that? He says, "Look at my hands and feet. It's really me. Touch me and see. For a ghost does not have flesh and bones like you see I have." You get a few more details when you go to the Gospel of John. John says this, "Now Thomas, also known as Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came." Most scholars believe the disciples gathered in that room, and they were hiding. They were afraid of being arrested, but they gathered in that room to worship and to pray, to be together. It was a worship service, and Thomas wasn't there. I mean, he misses church altogether. He missed out on the encouragement maybe he needed, being prayed for, built up. I think he missed the presence and power of Jesus that day. I mean, perhaps he'd withdrawn because, well, he was disappointed. He was struggling. But friends, that's no time to be a loner, because he missed out on the fellowship with the disciples that day. And that absence, I would argue, fueled the doubt. It fueled his unbelief that day. I've said this to many through the years. You miss church? You miss worship? You miss out on a lot. When you don't gather as a community of faith, see, we need each other. It's especially true when you face challenges, when you face struggles. It's not the time to isolate. It's not the time to kind of go your own way and see if you can work through it. You know, the Hebrew writer says, "Let us not neglect our meeting together." Some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. Thomas, I think, felt confused. I know he was disappointed, hurt, maybe scared. He should have been at the gathering with the other disciples, but he wasn't. He wasn't there. He missed out. He missed out on seeing Jesus that day. You know, the church worship is the place where you bring your hurts, you bring your confusion, you bring your doubts. You know, the church is a place where people pray for you. It's where you gather and you fellowship and you connect. And Thomas just missed out on all of it. You know, scripture says this, it says, the other disciples kept telling him, "We have seen the Lord." You know, in the Greek, and we kind of miss it, but this whole sentence carries the idea that they kept telling him over and over and over and over again, Thomas, Thomas, we've seen the Lord. We really saw the Lord. He was alive. We really saw him, Thomas. Friends, we should share the good news that Jesus is alive. We should share it with the world, and we should share it over and over and over. We should talk about God's grace and God's love. You know, and I wonder who in your life have you reached out to once and said, hey, why don't you come to church with me? And they said no, and you just wrote them off. And I want to say to you, don't do that. You know, the disciples, they keep asking Thomas, you know, and telling him, we've seen the Lord, Thomas. We really have. And Thomas gets to a point, he's like, stop. I don't think I believe what you're telling me. And I wonder if part of the issue for Thomas wasn't a thing called pride. We all have pride, by the way. I mean, he'd followed Jesus for years. He thought Jesus was the Messiah. And then he watched Jesus die. And he got stuck there. He's disappointed. He's disillusioned. I wonder if he maybe felt a little bit duped at that point. Like, you know, I believed everything Jesus said. Now he's gone. I mean, look, what did it get me all these years? Or maybe he was mad at himself. I should have been with the disciples that day. I should have seen Jesus that day. But he says to them, unless I see the nail marks in his hand and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand in his side, I will not believe. I will not believe. I think he wanted to believe, but he needed more than he had. You ever been there? I mean, maybe he was thinking, I don't want this secondhand stuff, you telling me about it. I don't want secondhand faith that Jesus is alive. I want a firsthand experience. I want to see him. I want to touch him. I want to experience this risen Savior. Friends, you got to have a firsthand experience with God, with Jesus Christ. It's got to be your experience. You know, in other words, you can't ride alongside and go, well, you know, my parents were Christians, so yes, I am. You know, my spouse really loves the Lord, I guess I am a Christian too because of that. No, it's got to be personal experience with Jesus Christ. The disciples, they keep telling Thomas, we've seen the Lord. I'm going to give you an abridged week, but Monday and Tuesday, they're like, Thomas, we really did see him. We're telling you, he's alive. You know, we saw him, he was in the room, and he keeps telling him over and over and over. And Wednesday and Thursday, they're like, Thomas, trust us. We wouldn't lie to you. We saw him. He's alive. And Friday and Saturday, I saw him for real. Seriously. He was right there. Guess what? Thomas, he showed up the next Sunday. He's with the disciples. He dealt with the doubts, but he showed up. And when in doubt, you got to keep showing up. God will give you an opportunity. I mean, this moment to me speaks volumes. And even though he had kind of pushed back at the other disciples, discounted what they had claimed, they kept showing him grace. They kept reaching out. They kept going, Thomas, he really is alive. They wanted him to be with them. They included him. They kept inviting him. And friends, I'll tell you, that inspires me as a pastor. You know, Faith Fellowship, can we create that kind of environment where people who are struggling, people who are doubting, that they feel safe here? I mean, can we be unshockable, unoffendable? Can we be loving and gracious with people even when they don't believe? Can we? Can we, church? Hey, Thomas, want to come to church? I'll save you a seat. I'll take you to lunch afterwards. And I'll pay. Some of you are very kind. You're just not very persistent. Some of you love people, but not enough to share Jesus with them. And then some of you are very persistent. You're just not very kind. I'm just telling you. It takes truth and grace and love to reach people for Jesus Christ. It does. The disciples, they're very persistent. And they're gracious and kind. And it kind of sets the stage for Thomas so that he can encounter the risen Savior. It says a week later, his disciples were in the house again, see? And Thomas was with them. And though the doors were locked, they're still locking the doors. Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Jesus appears in the room again. It's full of disciples. Imagine there's a lot of commotion going on. Jesus appears, but this time, guess who he zeroes in on? Thomas. He zeroes in on Thomas. It says, then he says to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hands. Put it in my side. Stop doubting and believe." Jesus focuses on the one who was doubting, the one that wanted desperately to believe. You know, Jesus goes straight to Thomas. He says, "Thomas, touch my hands. Touch my side. Stop doubting and believe." Jesus gave Thomas exactly what he needed to have faith and to believe. And I want you to notice what Jesus didn't do to him. Jesus didn't chew him out, go, "Oh, Thomas, really? You didn't believe, huh?" I mean, he didn't push him aside or shun him, didn't kick him out and go, "You know what, you're done. You cannot be a disciple if you don't have any more faith than that." No, Jesus gave Thomas what he needed to believe, and he says, stop doubting and believe. Friends, some of you, you don't know if you believe. I mean, everything they're saying to me, I don't know. It's okay to doubt. It's okay. But there's a difference of having doubt and shutting God out. Ask God to just open your eyes. Be open and willing to hear from God. Friends, when you shut God out, and we're pretty good at this, I will tell you, you will not hear from God. But I believe when we open our eyes, even in the midst of doubt, I believe the presence of God will give you what you need. It's what God does. I mean, friends, I will tell you, God has always given me what I need to believe. Wasn't maybe what I asked for, all right? But it's what I needed to believe. And that has changed my perspective through the years. It has changed my life. And it's exactly what happens to Thomas here. Jesus says, touch me, Thomas. I know you doubt. Touch me. And Thomas says, my Lord and my God. It became very personal for him. It wasn't secondhand information from the other disciples. It was firsthand faith. He wasn't believing in Jesus. He was believing Jesus. Friends, it's what happens when you find yourself in the presence of God. God moves and gives you what you need. God will reveal truth. Probably not overnight. Please hear that. I mean, he could, but probably not. But over time, trust me, you pursue God and keep pursuing God, at some point, you will find you doubt less and less, and you believe more and more because God will reveal things to you. I don't know how, but God will. And friends, when that happens, it changes everything. It changes how you see everything. It will change your life. You know, for Thomas became the disciple. He traveled further, sharing the good news of Jesus Christ, that Jesus is alive, than any of the other disciples, hands down. And he went clear to India, sharing. And Thomas wanted everyone to experience that relationship with Jesus. It transformed him. And he was the guy who doubted. But when asked to renounce his faith or die, he stood his ground, no doubt. And Thomas died for the faith. That's quite a turnaround. It's quite a testimony. Some of you have doubts. It's okay. But some of you have been living on the sidelines for a long, long time, not doing anything to address the doubts. And so it's been 5 years, 10 years, decades of doubting. I worry for you. Because if you're not careful, you will spend your entire life doubting. Don't do that. It's okay to doubt. But you got to pursue. Pursue God. Here's a promise from God. You can take this to the bank. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and those who seek find, and to everyone who knocks, it will be open. And here's what I want you to know today. God will meet you where you are. God will help you find the answer to whatever the questions are. So keep asking them. God will open the door and give you exactly what you need so that you can come to a point of belief. You know, God will move maybe through scripture, maybe ignite your faith through a song or message. Maybe it's through a friend or a situation, but God will speak to you. God's been speaking to some of you for a while. God will respond to your doubt because he wants to bring you to a point of faith. He's done it for me my whole life. I've watched people that he's done it for. And my point is, God will do it for you, wherever you're at. whatever you're struggling with, God will do it for you. He will. Take this home. Doubt is not the end of faith. You got doubts? Okay. Keep bringing them to God. Doubt is the beginning of real faith, solid faith. It's life-changing faith when you get on the other side of it. Let's bow in a word of prayer together. Our holy God, we bring our doubts. And we place them at your feet. And God, we ask questions. We wonder. We struggle. And God, now we wait to hear from you. Speak to us. Bring us to faith, Lord. For those that are Christians, we still have moments. Lord, we place all those things before you. For those that are trying to figure out if you're real, Lord, I just pray that through your Holy Spirit, through some movement in life, that you will speak loud and clear, that they'll experience your presence. God, we thank you that Jesus is alive. We thank you that we can have hope today because of it. And God, may we honor you with all we say and do. It's in Christ's holy name we pray. Amen. God's people said,
amen.
Amen. There'll be prayer teams down here afterwards. You need prayer, maybe something's going on in your life. You need someone to pray with you. They'll be down here. If you haven't been here before, you can just come down and go, hey, pray for me. You don't have to say anything beyond that. You want to, you can tell them everything you want, but you can just say, pray for me, I need prayer today. You know, something happened at work, or I've got someone sick, whatever. They'll pray with you. Just remain seated and let this song minister to you this morning.